across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, April 15th, 2024. It's tax day. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network. And I really mean it this time. It is a beautiful day to have you up north. The lake's just looking gorgeous on the one side. The farm fields are looking good on the other. The sun is up that much earlier. You can have the curtains open now and see what's going on in the world. Hope you had a great weekend. We appreciate you being here. Always start off by asking you a question. You have your taxes ready? I don't think there's any kind of grace period. I think what Massachusetts has it for Boston Patriots Day. Today's Boston Marathon Day. But I think everybody else has got to get those taxes in today. So if you haven't yet, there's your homework assignment on this rather historic day. A lot of things happened on this day in history. We'll cover those at about 6:50 or so. But first, let me remind you, as always, you can reach us at the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. Call it or text it or use the Civic Media app. Let us know where you're listening from, what's new, what you'd like to hear about on the show. It's just a great big suggestion box for all of you. We'd love to have your input. Coming up on the program this morning, no matter how much the defendant in court tries to spin what's going on today, the fact is that Donald Trump becomes the first former president who winds up in court because there's enough evidence that shows he may have committed felony crimes. And so he goes on trial starting today. It's still an open question, of course, how it will all end. But today is historic nonetheless. In our second hour, local authors Tom Manis and Christy Flick Manis love uncovering unusual stories that they feel just have to be told. They are passionate about finding Wisconsin's out-of-the-ordinary, hidden, quirky side and then sharing what they've learned with their readers. We'll talk to them about their book, Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. And Terry Bell will have three things you need to know to get the week started. That's coming up closer to 8 o'clock here on this Monday morning. A nice Monday morning, certainly about where we were on Friday morning, so it's nice. It's going to get a little nicer in places. But by the way, there's also an elevated risk of grass fires and wildfires today. Brittany Merlot will have more about an hour from now. But between the low humidity, the dry conditions, a little bit of wind, you really have to be careful out there with anything that could conceivably start things burning. 6 o'clock temperatures look like this. It's 42 here on Lake Wissota, 31 in Hayward, Park Falls at 38, Wausau 46, Green Bay 41, La Crosse is at 46 degrees right now, Wisconsin Rapids, you're at 38. Folks listening to Oshkosh Air Support, you're at 42, Madison 42, and in Waukesha, Wisconsin right now, it's 39 degrees in that place where we find Greg Bach standing by to tell us what a wonderful weekend he had. Mr. Bach, true or false?
Ta-ha-ha, you found me this time, Patrick Kreitlow.
I just had to push that right button and I found you.
Oh, never mind, I'm terribly hiding.
Easy game of hide and seek. How was the weekend?
The weekend was good. Busy. Very busy.
Yeah. Busy meaning Laughing Tap busy or home life or Maybell kept you up, you know, and going.
Maybell is always a firestorm of energy and love and kisses and hugs and attacks of... I did find out something new.
Maybell's the dog, by the way, for first-time listeners.
Yes. My as I call him, my bubba girl. Last night I was just like getting tired and I covered my face to yawn and just sort of like, you know, that do that thing where you don't stretch your face, where you're like, oh, big yawn, cover your face, kind of like, oh, yep. Kind of massage your face. She came bolting at me.
Uh-oh.
I was like, why did she do that? I'm like, she was right across the couch. She could see me. And so I looked it up and apparently when you cover your face in front of your dog, it can either like stoke anxiety. It can, they think something's wrong, or they think you're playing with them. There's all sorts of explanations, and I thought it was hilarious. And I had, and Bridget's my wife, for first time listeners. I said, I want to do it again. She goes, don't do that again. You're just being mean. I'm like, but it's fun.
Well, but you don't know. Are you being mean or are you being playful?
She didn't like, she didn't bark or yelp or bite or anything. She just came up and started like kissing me and giving me licks and hugs and stuff like that. So I'm like, I feel like this is a transaction of friendship right here. But it was comedy, a lot of comedy happening. We had shows and we had a show on Sunday too at Lakefront Brewery. That was a lot of fun. Good. And I should have got stuff done during the day yesterday, but did I? No.
Because it was just too nice.
It was so nice. My lawn was like, don't mow us yet. But that's going to be happening tomorrow because I think I told you, but I will not be here tomorrow. Luke Mathers will be in my stead.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Because tomorrow, Maybell, and Maybell's our dog for those who are just tuning in as first time listeners. She is having her surgery. So she's getting fixed. And I'm taking the day. I'm going to treat her to all the treats she needs and all the pets she needs and leave her alone if she wants. But
such a good doggy daddy you are. Yeah. So
how was your weekend?
I am sore from head to toe, but in a good way. I am downright giddy at the progress I made in our garage project.
Yeah.
You know, and it's pretty simple. It's just being, you know, insulated and sheetrocked, but it means everything comes off the walls. And so everything was in a mountain in the center, for folks who might recall from late last week. And this weekend, it was all about, after 29 years in the same house, saying, this will stay, this will go, this will go over here. How do I have these things in three different areas of the garage or the shed? So there was a lot of compacting things, consolidating things. Things like, you know, on the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and Clark is stuck there in the attic, and he reaches in an area, and he pulls out like a Mother's Day present from years earlier that he totally forgot about. It was kind of like that, like, oh, that's where that went to. You know, there was a whole lot of that. Plus, it was gorgeous. So I just had to put the Brewers, you know, play-by-play on in the background. And it was, I should note that Sherry was working her tail off all weekend up in Rice Lake. And so this was just my chance to finally do what I've wanted to do to that garage forever. And I built some shelves. I built kind of a new workbench, like a kit, you know, that you get from a store.
Nice.
Put together my old workbench. I moved that to the shed so that Sherry now finally has like a garden planting table, you know, when she's potting plants and all that stuff. So if I sound a little too enthusiastic for just cleaning the garage, it's because the weather was, it was just the perfect weekend for doing it. So I just loved it.
Nope. I totally get it. I have a garage project as well. So I know what you're talking about. Was it 30 years of, you just never know. That was the answer of never getting.
Yes,
just, you never know. We may need this crown molding.
So much molding, so many baseboards, And now these guys are going to come in today with, you know, all these new sheets of drywall.
Yeah,
and the first thing I'm going to point to them is because some of the old shelves are coming down. They're just kind of scrap lumber, and they're going to look and go, why are there two boards of sheetrock there? And I'll go, well, those are left over from over 20 years ago when we did a remodeling project, and you save them because, you know, you just never know. Now, of course, they're completely unusable. The edges are all worn down, and I'm sure there's got moisture in it. But yeah, the first thing is, thanks for bringing in all the sheetrock. Take some of the sheetrock out with you when you go, please.
What? You know? And why do you have sheetrock here? Because you never know.
Because you never know. There was so much oh, for crying out loud, Pat, put it in that pile.
Are you going to get your garage floor redone and like speckled and whatnot?
No, we thought about it, and I've got a neighbor who did it, who really loved it for the first couple of years, and then said, you know, it doesn't last or whatever. It's not, you know, he questions whether it was worth the expense. And so I thought, yeah, I can always come back and do that another time. Gotcha. But boy, to just pull everything off the shelves and the drawers and find new worlds for that. was very satisfying, again, given the weather and given you could listen to some good Brewers games. I mean, they took 2 out of 3 from the Orioles. Just they were slugfests all the way through, which was great.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
You know how you have a question for Wisconsin when they're listening? I have a question for you, and I think you'll be able to explain this. Mm-hmm. So I got a text from MLB because I have an MLB account. It said, hey, today's Brewers-Oriole game is the game of the day, free on MLB. So mm-hmm. I download the app on my TV. I pop it on, and I'm like, I'm going to watch me a couple innings before I have to go do some stuff. I didn't do any stuff. But anyways, I turn and I'm like, it says we've decided that this is a blackout game for you. They were playing in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, and they said, free for you. But no for me, folks. That's what happened. No for Greg Bach. No baseball for me. Like an idiot, I sat there and every like 2 minutes I'd click on it again and be like, it's still blacked out. Like, but I just don't understand that. If it was a home game, which I still don't like, but it's an away game.
Of all the baseball posts that you would find on social media that don't involve the game, especially early in the season, there are so many that just rip into MLB for their blackout rules, their app, their streaming. I've never been totally, happy with it. And again, these are things they could improve.
Yeah.
But they haven't been. So I absolutely get that. I had to decide whether to listen through the MLB app on a speaker out in the garage or through the satellite radio app that I've got. And I ultimately went with that because the MLB one just isn't reliable enough. And yeah, sometimes if you want the video, they go, oh no, we're blacked out. Just cause.
It just didn't make sense. First of all, I live in Kenosha, so I'm far away from the stadium, but still I want a baseball.
Yeah, as well you should. Roger writes in, good morning from Stevens Point, where Trivia 54, very superstitious, wrapped up only 6 hours ago. The team of dad's computers successfully defended their championship. I've heard about this Stevens Point trivia thing for a long time now, and I just think that's such a cool idea. I'd love to be part of that one of these years. Just a radio station that goes, it's just nonstop trivia all weekend.
That's fun.
From a contest standpoint. Back to the Brewers. Like I said, they took 2 out of 3. We'll have some details on yesterday's game where they went up against their old ace, Corbin Burnes, who's now with the Orioles. And the Bucks. Is this just an epic collapse at the end of the season, or did they craftily find a better way to get into the playoffs? Details coming up wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning. When you're here, you're up north. Be right back. Dave Edmonds has a birthday today. More in today's history lesson in about a half hour. I think most folks know his song, I Hear You Knockin'. And that one there slipping away, I don't think it's played nearly as often as it used to, but if you're looking for a stereotypical classic 80s toe-tapper, I think that one would be it. Again, more coming up in a half hour. Tomorrow on the program, the importance of helping Wisconsin farmers find and keep good export customers and why one Wisconsin congressman seems to want to interfere with that, which is odd since he's a member of the House Ag Committee and should really understand how farm exports work in Wisconsin. We'll talk about that with Hans Breitenmoser tomorrow. Then on Wednesday, a new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum on how voters are trending in Wisconsin when it comes to schools and local government referendums. So give a listen for that later in the week here. So Corbin Burnes now is pitching for the Baltimore Orioles. He allowed a home run to the first batter of the game, William Contreras, on only the second pitch of the game. And he left after just 5 innings Sunday, but he allowed 3 runs on 6 hits and 2 walks, but did strike out 5, pitched himself out of trouble on a couple of occasions, allowing Baltimore to ultimately win a very back-and-forth game. And the O's won 6-4, but the Brewers scored 11 runs on both Friday and Saturday in those games. And again, like I said, they were slugfests, and they were almost slugfests. The two teams kind of wanted to have a little dust-up, especially on Friday. Not that most of you saw it, because Friday's game was on Apple TV, So again, unless you've got that app on your phone or your TV, you were probably saying, hey, what do we do here? You go to Civic Media, because there are several Civic Media radio stations that will always have the Brewers game for you. So the Brewers come home. They take on San Diego tonight, tomorrow night, and they'll play the Padres again Wednesday afternoon. Just a short three-game homestand. Then they're back on the road for division games, three in St. Louis next weekend, followed by four in Pittsburgh. Craig, I swear that I try to prepare for these things. I worked so hard to prepare to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks next, because they've had the number two seed pretty much all season. Boston yep. Celtics had number one seed. So we weren't going to know who their playoff opponent was going to be until after the play-in tournament. And I have written here quite the explainer on the play-in tournament about how, you know, the 7 and 8 teams don't necessarily get into the playoffs now. They have to play a play-in tournament with the 9 and 10 teams so that they have a chance to sneak in, and which one becomes the 8 to play Boston, and which one becomes 7 to play Milwaukee, because they've been the number 2 seed almost all season till yesterday, when they just kept losing so many times.
Yeah.
On the last day of the regular season, they dropped to the 3 seed, and this is no longer relevant.
I saw that news. We went to brunch yesterday, and Bridget was asking me a bunch of questions about the Bucks. The amount that I listened to you and Joe and J.R. Radcliffe and Paul Noonan and Luke Mathers talk about the Bucks, I was able to regurgitate enough information where I said, I was talking, she goes, I love your opinions on this, on the team. I'm like, they're not my opinions. I know nothing. I just work with very informed people. I just know that the Bucks, as you were saying, it was theirs to lose, and they lost it.
Oh, my goodness. And yet, by the same token, they probably helped themselves a bit, because instead of a mystery opponent, they know, being locked into the 3, it already means they're going to play the 6. That's the good news. They knew who their opponent's going to be. Here's the bad news. It's the Indiana Pacers, who beat them 3 out of 4 games during the regular season. They've got their number. And Doc Rivers, again, I mean, here's a guy with a losing record since he took over the team. I think it's 14 and 16 or something like that, 14 yeah. and 17. And he, again, in his postgame comments, just continues to criticize the team and says, well, you know, at least we know who Indiana is. We've got a week to get ready for them. And I'm starting to wonder if a week maybe is too long of a layoff. So I'm not being down on the Bucks. I'm just saying they're not making it easy.
No, and I'm honestly, Bucks fans, I get your fandom, and I love how much you love them. And when they do well, I'm happy for you, and I'm happy for them. Mm-hmm. But from an outside place, which I feel like you're coming from too, because you don't strike me as the biggest basketball fan.
Nope.
So when you're looking at just the logical, pure numbers, you're like, the Bucks kind of suck. And then they come at you like, oh, but you don't understand. I'm like, I understand you have 3 head coaches on payroll. I understand that the new guy isn't doing as great as you thought. And I also understand that he doesn't seem to actually care when you lose. He just sort of is like, ah, we didn't play that well. They didn't blah, blah,
blah. Like, he does not seem invested in
it. Yeah, there's no fire. There's no fire from him whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be like, well, I'm going to tell you what to do. If you don't listen, that's not my fault. It actually kind of is.
Yeah. So,
here, it's your name that's on top of the roster now. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what these workouts are going to look like this week, but I have a feeling that if they don't blow the bloody doors off on Sunday, next Sunday, as Michael Caine used to say, it's going to be a short playoff run for the Bucks.
I'm hoping the best. I really am. My tiny critique I just had there, mm-hmm. I'm still hoping the best. I still think they can do it. I think there's fire in that team, but I'm nervous for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, next Sunday is when the NBA playoffs will begin for the Bucks. They no longer have to worry about the play-in tournament, where nothing matters, your regular season rankings or anything. So we'll watch how all those teams do over the next few days, and then the Bucks will get going. Newsletter time. Got to tell you, Mark Jacob visits with us every Friday morning. His Stop the Presses newsletter talks about how right-wing extremism is exploiting weaknesses in American journalism. And you can find that newsletter at stopthepresses.news or over at couriernewsroom.com, where we also have newsletters from our friend Kia Vakil, who has the From the Frontlines newsletter about biweekly political stories from some of the key states. Melissa Ryan does Control-Alt-Right-Delete, covering the rise of far-right extremism, white nationalism, disinformation, and online toxicity. Kyle Tharp, who we visited with a couple of weekends ago, his newsletter, For What It's Worth, talks about digital trends and how campaigns, candidates, and groups are or are not using online advertising to its fullest and most effective extent. And Nina Burley's American Freak Show talks about some of the absurdity of MAGA extremism. And then finally, there's a Courier podcast to tell you about, Vibes Only, with Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar. Their guest this week has been Taylor Lorenz, who covers technology and social media for The Washington Post. They talk about proposed TikTok legislation, how social media shapes the vibe of politics, and the Robert Kennedy Jr. staffer who said the quiet part out loud. So go to couriernewsroom.com. to learn more about where you get your podcasts. And on our daily newsletter through Up North News, you can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. And Christina Laurie writes that up. And in this morning's edition, she talks about a Green Bay victim of the Titanic sinking, which happened on this day in history. Again, details coming up a little bit later. But in the newsletter, learn about the prominent family of one of the victims and who was traveling on the Titanic with his wife and his sister who survived. And Up North News social media posts can be found on all the platforms, telling you about how the Ishnala Supper Club is now open for a new season in Wisconsin Dells and how Senator Ron Johnson is inaccurately talking about mail-in voting and the impact on undocumented immigrants who vote. They don't, because we have many safeguards in place. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is next on this Monday morning. You're up north.
Let's do it.
You just never know what you're going to get for Kristen Lyerly walk-up music when we do Monday mornings here. Tone Loc is actually part of today's history lesson in about 15 minutes or so. Before we talk to Dr. Lyerly, who's running for Congress in the 8th Congressional District, this story from up front over the weekend from WISN-TV in Milwaukee. Former 8th District Republican Congressman Reed Ribble says a Democrat could win the 8th District, though it would be an uphill lift as Mike Gallagher gets set to quit this coming Friday. I do think a Democrat could win as long as that Democrat takes a more moderate tone on things. And let's face it, abortion is a really hot issue, Ribble said. And when asked about the only Democrat in the race so far, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Ribble said, quote, "She's got to come up with answers for the border and inflation to get independent voters. And whoever is the Republican nominee has to come up with an answer for abortion to get independent voters. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how these candidates manage these hot button issues." Here's the aforementioned very, very interesting Kristen Lyerly. How are you?
Well, good morning. Happy Monday, my friend.
Yes, you are. What?
Hi.
Yeah. Boy, a week into this, and she still sounds chipper. She's clearly doing this wrong. You should have been broken by now.
Not only that, but I'm working. I've been working nonstop. I'm delivering babies. It's been a busy weekend, but, you know, I love what I do. Mm-hmm. And it's when I get to take care of my patients, it's that energy that I get that helps me do it on a whole different level. That actually drives me to do it on a whole different level. So, yeah, I'm just getting better and stronger as time goes on, Pat. The
bionic candidate going on right here. Look, we're going to concede the point to Reed Ribble that, yeah, if Republicans need to come up with better answers on abortion. But he does mention, Democrats have to come up for answers on the border and inflation. And I'm just going to get this one rant out of the way here first. I'm watching the latest Eric Hovde ad. And Eric Hovde's thing is all about, close the border or secure the border or something like that. That is so not why you're running. That's so not why you got into this race. You couldn't give a rat's butt about the border, but you, you know, are listening to all the MAGA consultants who are whipping people into a frenzy about the border, the border, the border, rather than taking care of people here in the district. It just, it makes you look fake if you are leading with the border, that you're just spending way too much time with right-wing radio and TV. And yet, wait, having said that, Kristen, you are going to get asked about the border.
Oh, for sure. But you're saying that this guy from California talking about Wisconsin and the border looks fake?
Yes, that's exactly what I was saying. Yeah.
I feel that too.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but you're right. This is the difference between politics and policy. So when you look at some of the things, I mean, the Biden campaign is a great example, or what President Biden has done. He's really done some solid things when it comes to policy. But the politics part, how you sell it to people and how people are actually feeling it, that's not working. And we see that in his poll numbers. It's the same thing for the border. There was a great bipartisan agreement that was negotiated by one of the most conservative Republican members of the Senate that was dashed against the rocks because of politics. So that's the difference. We've got to be better about getting the message out to the people so that they can actually understand what's happening and they actually feel it. It's what you're feeling. And so many of us are feeling that our leadership is not doing a good job of taking care of us.
Oh, and that is just putting it mildly. Let's turn to some national news for a second here, because it is a history-making day. This is the first time that a former president of the United States goes on trial, charged with 34 felony charges of falsifying business records to cover up hush money payments to a former porn star, to cover up an alleged affair, and then by having, you know, basically lied on the business records, it is a way overall of basically election interference is what the district attorney is going to tell jurors today as jury selection begins. And Kristen and Greg as well, I mean, this is a historic day for all the saddest reasons, one way or another. I don't know how it's going to play out, but this is one for the books, Kristen.
It's, you're right. If you just take away all of the Trump, how you feel about Donald Trump, it's just so incredible that we're at this moment and that we're, as a country, watching a former president go through this and have to defend himself against some really legitimate charges. The whole situation is, it's really unbelievable. I was thinking back to like the George W. Bush years and how innocent we were back then and how like we thought that things were crazy back then. But this is a whole other chapter of what's going on in the world.
I know. It's like, you know, the present day, you know, was the future at that point and turned to the present during the George W. Bush years and said, hold my beer. Watch what I'm going to do to you when you get up to this level. Greg, you know, part of the reason I ask about it as well is, like it or not, this is going to be kind of a pop culture thing. We talked about O.J. Simpson on Friday and the trial and the coverage. Now, there won't be TV cameras in this courtroom, but I don't think it's going to be any less a spectacle.
I don't disagree. I was thinking the exact same thing, actually, when I got in this morning. The news said the trial of the century is about to begin. And I was like, I remember when in 1994, 95, it was the trial of the century. And not to discount what the Goldman family went through and not to discount what any of the other people affected went through. But this one is just like a former president's going on trial for criminal acts. That is for as much as we talk about, like, you know, throw Barack Obama in prison, throw George W. Bush in prison, like, there's always people who are saying throw him in prison because it's happening now. And we're going to watch this and we're going to see reports, and it's going to be, there's people who are hinging their every waking instance on these trials. And I don't know. I'm just afraid of someone slipping up and being like, oh, well, we tried, but we forgot to file this paperwork, or we've got to do this with evidence, and all over. And
or just the notion, because they're starting to pick the jury today, just the whole notion, it only takes one to hold out And then you've got a hung jury or a mistrial, and then prosecutors have to decide whether to do it all over again. So, and that's why I'm focusing more on today, that a president actually went to trial rather than the outcome, because we just don't know yet. But I think we're going to be talking a little too much about this because it's just such a big story, and we're going to try to look at every little nuance, when really it just comes down to would a credible jury convict somebody of falsifying business records to the extent that it constitutes a crime? Yeah. And people go, oh, this is a victimless crime. No, if every business felt they could get away with falsifying their business records, I mean, we'd all be getting ripped off to the hilt. Rules exist for a reason.
Mm-hmm. You know? I'm really interested in the whole jury selection thing. I was thinking about this the other day. How would you feel if you had been called for jury duty for this jury? What would be going through your head, and how would you approach that? Would you want to be on this jury, or would you be like, no, I am not the right person and want to walk away?
Moment they sat me down, they'd be like, so do you think? I'd be like, here's my Twitter. I'm going to go home now.
See, and I have to go back 30 years before, you know, being, you know, a TV anchor and then being a politician to, you know, I was working in my uncle's small business. He was an electrical contractor, you know, and I'm thinking, what if I'd have gotten called in then? And I think because obviously there was no Twitter or anything back then. It would have been like, yeah, I'll do this. I would have in my head gone, Donald Trump, that guy, what a schmuck, you know, but could I have weighed the evidence and all that? Oh, sure. Whereas now if I walked in the courtroom and here's former state, nope, excused, bye, get out of here. It's not something I have to worry about.
Mr. Pat word strike. Okay. I mean, okay. That's the thing too, is that you talk about like 20, even, I don't know, like 10, 15 years ago, we didn't know the extent to which he acted. Like, we just knew him as the dumb reality host and Donald Trump. I mean, the fact alone, there's a line of people who are holding bills that say, he has never paid me for hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work, is enough for me to say, throw him in jail, or at the very least, payback restitution with interest. I mean, the amount we've learned of him as a, not as a politician, not as a parent or anything like that, but just as a businessman, yeah, quote unquote. Honestly, I don't even like using that term because I know I'm a business person. I know business people. They work hard. They pay their taxes. They pay their bills. They want to grow something. And he is a huckster. He is a grifter.
And that to me is one of the more surprising things from 2016, among many, was that I thought more people back then knew, you know, how shady he was and frankly how icky he was too on some of the stories from, you know, the New York, from the Studio 54 days onward. But clearly enough people saw him as, oh, somebody different, let's just try somebody different. And well, we see how well that has worked out. And by the way, speaking of tax day,
thanks for the reminder.
Happy tax day for those who celebrate.
No, you talked about business people paying their taxes. And look, it's not in vogue to say this thing. I'm going to say it anyway, because I saw some other, somewhere on social media, a business person. It was Mark Cuban saying he was writing out a check at that moment for $280 million to pay his taxes. Mm-hmm. And he said, I love paying my taxes, because this is the place where I could build, you know, this kind of company, build this kind of fortune. I had a large donor, a much older donor, and when we would talk, he said, "You need to know, I am an FDR Democrat, meaning I am glad to pay my taxes because I know what government can do when it works best to give people opportunity." And that has always stuck with me. It's like when we're paying taxes, and you know, did that last night, I'm like, I am glad to do that, yeah, because I know what can happen when government is in the hands of responsible people. You get things like the Inflation Reduction Act, you get things like the Bipartisan Infrastructure Bill, the things that are going to create jobs and improve lives for a generation. So I just wanted to point out my weirdness while everybody else, you know, gripes and files their taxes today. Quick note here from the TV last night. I was so looking forward to CBS.
I feel like you should get a ding, ding, ding for that sentence. The TV was telling me something, kids.
CBS had been promoting this 100th Madison Square Garden thing from Billy Joel.
Yeah.
And of course, it started like 30 minutes late because the Masters ran long. And I watched, you know, the first hour of it, and then it was past my bedtime at that point. I'm like, I can't stay up till 10:30. Turns out, as Roger puts it on Facebook in a comment here, CBS pulled a Heidi, which is really old school. You have to be an old-time TV football fan to know about NBC cutting out of Heidi in 1967, I think it was, to show a game. But they did. They just bailed out and said, well, it's 10 o'clock, time for your news.
Oh, wow.
Which makes no sense because they always run late for football. And they slide everything, and so Pat, the local news would start at 10:30, but they couldn't for a Billy Joel concert.
Pat, that's football, all right? You understand me? That's football.
When concerts, they grow, they build, they culminate to a great end. That's really surprising. Yeah. You would think that they would want to show the end of the concert.
And I'm sure he ended with Piano Man, and so Roger closed out his line with, guess they weren't in the mood for a melody. I see what you did there, Roger.
Very good. You know, Pat, what you were saying before about Mark Cuban, I think it's very interesting, is that he also strikes me as a guy who is incredibly rich. And when he writes that check out and sends it to the government, he realizes when they cash that check, I'm still going to be rich.
Yes.
I'm still going to be very, I'm going to be ridiculously, grossly, way too rich.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas other people are like, I don't want to pay those taxes. I don't want to lose my money. Why? You have a ton of it.
It hurts. And let's be honest. To hear Mark Cuban say he loves to pay his taxes, I don't know anybody personally who says I love to pay my taxes. But as Oliver Wendell Holmes said, and it's inscribed on the building at the IRS, taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society.
I love that quote.
So I'm honored to pay my taxes because I feel like that's my contribution and I'm happy to pay my fair share. I still don't like it.
Yeah,
but I do it.
Yeah, I don't mind it because, again, from you know where we were, you know, on food stamps and everything else, mm-hmm. for me to have the opportunities through Pell Grants to get a college education,
yes.
and to get a good job, and I'm paying, you know, taxes more than I ever could have if I hadn't had these kinds of opportunities. So I'm with Mark Cuban on this one. We'll do today's history lesson coming up. Selena Heller will join us as well. All here on this Monday morning, April 15th, as you can probably tell from the discussion. Back after this, you're up north. Dave Edmonds' birthday today. Dave Edmonds from Wales is 80 years old today. Selena Heller joins us along with that damn cat.
Hey!
Camera hog.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow.
That was very rough on the cat who probably liked it very much. Like, look.
Old Grumps Kreitlow is on the radio, I guess.
No. Just ask Dottie here, who's saying good morning from Appleton. Hello to Kristen.
Hi, Dottie.
Good morning, Dottie.
Hi, Dottie. We know Dottie from, you know, political circles.
We go way back.
Whatever. Yeah. I'm here, too.
All right. We got bad news, good news here on the history lineup today. Let's get the bad stuff out of the way first, because there's way too many of them. Abraham Lincoln died after being shot the previous evening, this day in 1865. The Titanic sank this day in 1912 after hitting an iceberg the night before, 1,500 souls lost. The Boston Marathon bombing killed three, injured more than 250 others on this day in 2013. The Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris, seriously damaged by a fire back in 2019.
Wow.
Now let's get to the good stuff, and that starts with Chris Stapleton's birthday. He is 46 today.
Sing my share of broken halos.
This is Jackie Robinson Day. He made his debut with the Brooklyn Dodgers, breaking baseball's color line this day in 1947. Insulin became generally available for use by people with diabetes, or diabetes if you're Wilford Brimley, on this day in 1923. Greg, you strike me as you would make a good
You know that I have diabetes. You're mean, man. All right.
Wilford Brimley impression.
Well, my Wilford, I don't know why, but my Wilford Brimley's always like, I go way gruffer. I'm like, hey, little ones, I got the diabetes.
I got the sugar diabetes.
I got the sugar shocks.
I love that Greg knows what his Wilford Brimley impression sounds like and where he needs to improve.
That is the mark of a good performer, Dr. Lyerly, is someone.
Yes.
But I'll never improve on a Wilford Brimley. Wilford Brimley was Wilford Brimley. I'm always be like, I got diabetes.
Yep. The first McDonald's restaurant under Ray Kroc opened on this day in 1955. And if you've never seen the Michael Keaton movie, The Founder, I highly suggest it. Basically how he took the McDonald's restaurant away from the McDonald brothers, made it into, you know, what it is today, but at, you know, great personal cost. So go see that movie, put that on your list. Roy Clark was born this day in 1933, passed away in 2018 at the age of 85. You might remember him from Hee Haw, but he was a mighty good banjo and guitar player, as evidenced by this little clip called The 12th Street Rag.
Oh my God, this band is so good.
There are people you just wish you could put them in a line. Like, there's Roy Clark, you know, there's Prince, there's Eric Clapton, and, you know, not so much as a competition, but just a celebration. They would all just go down the line, Eddie Van Halen, and you would just revel in it. It'd be so great.
He was also an amazing...
Clark, though, is that when we were kids and we would watch him on Hee Haw, you just didn't know he was a great
instrument. You just know he was that funny guy picking and grinning.
And then he'd start playing and you'd be like, oh, wow, that's good.
Google Roy Clark on Happy Days.
What's that, Greg?
Google Roy Clark on Happy Days. He shows up on an episode and he like does this acoustic bluegrass like quick jam. He could hit his fiddle playing was unparalleled.
I was deciding whether to go with this guitar one or a fiddle because we're so used to hearing him on the banjo, which all, by the way, if you're also looking at old clips from some singers who are surprisingly good on guitar, Glenn Campbell.
Yes.
Everybody thinks he's just the singer. Watch him as a guitar player. Unbelievable.
Started off as a session guy.
Yeah. Leonardo da Vinci was born this day in 1452. Actress Elizabeth Montgomery from Bewitched on this day in 1933. She passed away in 1995. Here's always one of the most awkward, cringeworthy historical musical memories you can play. Here's Frank Sinatra and his daughter Nancy.
Oop, wrong fader.
Listen, have a drink or two, and then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you.
It was the only father-daughter duet ever to top the Hot 100, going to number one this day in 1967, but it always has kind of an awkward, especially what we know now about John Phillips from the Mamas and the Papas.
Wait, what?
What? What?
We'll talk later about it. I don't know what you're
talking about.
If you Google up the Mamas and Papas, you're never going to hear them the same way again. We played Tone Loc earlier. His debut album hit number one on the Billboard charts this day in 1989. And Be Without You by Mary J. Blige was on number one song on this day in 2006 for the 15th consecutive week, breaking a record that had been set the previous year by Mariah Carey. Selena. We've talked about cleaning the garage, a comedy club, working over the weekend, and delivering babies. How was your weekend? What did you do with yourself?
Oh, gosh. None of those things, really.
Guess which one I did.
Delivered babies.
Yeah. Ding, right, ding.
Yours.
Maybe you worked on your taxes too. Today is National Tax Day. It's Jackie Robinson Day. It's Titanic Day. Today is National Laundry Day. Again, why would today be a National Laundry Day? All right, there.
How about that?
It's American Sign Language Day, and it is World Art Day. So does anybody have a particular work of art that is a favorite of theirs? I will say one of my favorite statues I ever saw when we went to Paris, we toured the Louvre, and Winged Victory is much larger than you imagine and just a gorgeous, whereas I was totally underwhelmed by the Mona Lisa. There, mm-hmm. I said it.
No, I've never heard anyone say it's, I've heard the same thing. It's just like, there it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I saw Dolly's lobster phone, and I just thought that's like, there's somebody who said, I want a phone with a lobster. That's art. You can have it. I respect that.
That's good. Oh, let's see. We're going to hear from Robin Tigerton. Apparently, the sturgeon are spawning on the Wolf River, he says. So we'll find out the temperature.
Oh,
we're out
there.
Yeah, Brittany Malone.
Love is in the air.
Going to have our forecast. And Selena, electric school buses. That's the wave of the future, apparently.
It is.
Where are we going after the news here for that?
Mondovi.
Mondovi. Nice. All right. Wait a minute. Now I'm spacing. Buffalo or Trempealeau County?
Buffalo.
Buffalo County. Okay. Yeah. So we're off to Buffalo County coming up next year, along with more stories that Selena's working on. And then later, we are going to have the authors of the book Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure, all in our second hour here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Saying something stupid like I love.
That I would love to share a little brief snippet on that I think you would enjoy.
All right. all right. I got to get Selena's clips into Dropbox here. Greg, are you actually going to tell us you aren't familiar with